Can I wrap up with a fifth misconception?
Absolutely.
If you are already backed up and the system is unable, so if you, for example, have something like candida in your GI tract, which is yeast, it's a pretty common infection nowadays. It's starting to become more and more common, as are things like SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, and also SIFO, which is small intestinal fungal overgrowth. When we start to kill those off, they can often produce neurotoxins, which become more toxic. Mm-hmm. And again, if the body's really not able to bring some of those things out, if you go on a kind of some type of detox and those things get backed up, those are going to flare up symptoms even worse.
Welcome to the Healing Ground Movement, a podcast dedicated to revolutionizing how we think about our bodies and our health. I'm your host, Dr. Carly Hudson, DC, and I have lived my life in pursuit of holistic healing and care that goes beyond symptom management. If you've been listening and like what you're hearing, head over to your favorite platform and leave us a review so we can reach more people with our important message. Enjoy today's episode.
Welcome to another episode of the Healing Ground Movement Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Carly Hudson, and with me today is Dr. Kirsten Lauritsen. She is a chiropractor out in Wilsonville, Oregon, where we both went to school in Portland, Oregon at the University of Western States. But Dr. K's practice focuses in functional medicine. She completed her master's in human nutrition and functional medicine at UWS in 2018. And she focuses on helping her patients restore function in their movement and health by getting to the root causes behind their symptoms. So thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
This is fun. I always like having, and we've had a couple of UWS grads here now on the podcast. It's just so much fun to have the alumni of our university. They put out such great doctors and offer such a variety of healthcare, particularly in that realm of functional, you know, fill in the blank.
Yes.
It's such a buzzword these days in health. And I'm excited to see all those pieces come together in healthcare.
Yeah. For sure. Me too. There's a lot to be found and explored. And so I'm glad that we're kind of in that midst of that. It's fun to be a practitioner. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Isn't it cool to be at the beginning of it?
Yeah.
But before we dive into functional medicine, functional nutrition, I want to know, when was movement first fun for you?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Movement has been fun for me since I was very, very little. My mom had me start in gymnastics when I was 3, and then I learned how to ski when I was 4. And I have been playing sports all of my life, which is why I work with a lot of athletes now. But it's always been this evolving thing for me. When I was 12, the reason actually why I got into chiropractic is because when I was 12, I was doing a lot of gymnastics, and I was at a point where I needed to either stay in that or I needed to move on to the next kind of stage. And I was broken. I had low back pain as a 12-year-old. I was constantly rolling my ankles. Like, I was sprained ankles were like a daily occurrence for me. And I had knee
thing.
I started getting Oshkosh-Schlatter's, which is when you get a bump on your tibia underneath your patella. And it's extremely painful when it starts. Mm-hmm. And so then I was also playing soccer at the time, and my mom was like, enough. So the gymnastics went away, which was sad. And I think that now, looking back, I wish that she had taken me to see a chiropractor, because I think that there would have been a lot of things that could have been done. But knowing now, right? Like, that's not to blame.
Yeah,
we
always know in hindsight.
Yeah. Right. And I think that that's just one of the things that brought me into what I do now. But I also found CrossFit when I was in college, and then I've been using that and doing Ironmans now. And so I've just been moving all over the place. It's been something that I do all the time. But I also look for new things to do. Like, I love to incorporate yoga. Snowboarding and skiing in the mountains is my favorite movement ever, because I love the mountains. I love the environment. It's just the coolest.
We tried to tempt Dr. K back out here to Colorado to be live for the podcast, The Promise of Skiing.
But yes. I honestly, I tried to make it work, let me tell you. I really wanted to get out. Your guys' snow is pretty great right now.
It is. It is. Although I hear not as good as you would think, but that's a side issue. Anyway. Yeah. So what is it about movement? It sounds like you have such a variety of what you love to do and you keep finding new things. What is it about movement that's so fun for you?
Oh, I think how it makes you feel, how it makes me feel. I think that it's not so much about stress relief for me. It's not about looking a certain way. It's just that I feel good when I'm doing something that I like to do. And usually that's when I'm out in the environment in some shape or form. So in order to, like, I found that the reason why I did certain movements like CrossFit, things like that, was that it helped me snowboard without being super sore the next day. You know, I was able to go a full day and not be like completely destroyed by the end of the day. I think that's just where movement is my favorite. It's just, it allows me to do the things I like to do and it makes me just feel good. So.
Awesome. Very nice. And so this idea about chiropractic, helping movement, help keep our bodies in alignment so that we can do more without pain. Right. I mean, that's really where chiropractic sings, I think. Oh, so how did you get this interest into the whole next level of functional medicine and functional nutrition?
Oh, okay. So I've always been in the nutrition world. And my mom, it goes back a lot to when I was little, but my mom, we had this thing called, there was like no faux in the house. So you remember back in the day when trans fats were in like everything and they were called partially hydrogenated oils. Well, what would happen somewhere along the lines, my mom heard that like we needed to not be consuming those foods. So I would walk through the aisles and I'd be like, Mom, can we get that? And she'd be like, well, does it have faux in it? And so I would look at the nutrient, like, you know, the label, and I'd see what ingredients were in there, and I got so good at being able to spot it because it was always right kind of in the middle, and see it, I'd be like, yeah, it does, and she'd be like, okay, put it back. So I got really used to the idea of paying attention to what we were putting into our bodies. At the time, I had no idea why. I was just being told that I wasn't allowed to eat that kind of an ingredient in a food, and we also ate vegetables all the time. Well, now fast forwarding to when I was 18 to 20, I started getting migraines. I had really bad acne. And so I went on different like antibiotics and birth control and medications to try to tackle the acne. And then that's what ended up causing my migraines because of the estrogen and the birth control. And so it kind of put me on this roller coaster of health issues that I had never had. And it took chiropractic first to kind of open my eyes to the fact that we don't necessarily need to use medications all the time to tackle some of these things. And sometimes medications can cause these issues. But there's also another world of how we use food and supplements specifically to work with different conditions and overcome them so that you don't have to feel them in your day anymore. I think with migraines, being somebody who has had to work with them for years, I found that medications sometimes don't even touch the pain. They don't even tackle it at all, but we are told that that's what we need to take. And it often can just make that neuroinflammation even worse because we're just putting more stuff into the body that it doesn't want. And so it took a long time.
I think it's a really important point that you bring up about sort of this winding path we can get stuck on when we start with medicating and we do what I like to call symptom whack-a-mole. So if it's the worst game of if you give a mouse a cookie, that if you take the birth control to control the acne, it puts more estrogen in your body. And if you put more estrogen in your body and your body can't handle it, it may produce migraines. Mm-hmm. And if you have migraines, on and on and on. And, you know, we so casually write off the side effects of these medications when really they're just effects that we don't like. And we, you know, we can try and diminish them with this little side piece to it, but they're effects. And you can end up having more and more symptoms that you now have to play whack-a-mole with. Exactly. So having to deal with that and bringing up it is a really important point.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been a big piece of my story of how I got into functional medicine and nutrition. And mm-hmm. when I went to chiropractic school, I didn't even know what functional medicine was until the school was like, oh, well, we have this master's in nutrition. And I was like, well, that's cool. That seems like something I'd be interested in. And I vacillated so much between, well, I really like working with the human body and movement and structure. So should I go the sports route, it's the master's in, what is it? Do you have that master's?
No, I don't. It's the master's in sports. Sports medicine, information, sports medicine, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I vacillated going with that or with the nutrition one. And I ended up falling into the nutrition line just because it's been something I'm so passionate about.
Absolutely. And then I love, your focus, and you even have an ebook about this, but talking specifically about this whole world of detoxing, which always comes up. We're recording now here at the beginning of 2020 in January, and detox is a big buzzword with New Year's resolutions, and then again in the spring as we start to get ready for summer. Mm-hmm. What drew you into detox?
Oh, I took a class actually in my functional medicine master's. Uh-huh. I kid you not. And the teacher, the professor, she just put it in such an amazing way that the way that the body detoxifies doesn't have to be with these crazy cleanses and juices and all these crazy supplements. There are so many ways where if we just get enough colorful foods into our system, then we allow the body to have all of the nutrients that it needs in order to get those toxins out of our body and just make us feel better day to day. Detoxification. Mm-hmm. Detoxification is one of those things that I think falls behind a lot of other pieces that people look at, right? We look at the adrenals, we look at the GI tract, we're looking at the brain, and we're always, and thyroid even gets thrown in there too, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and hormones for sure. But we sometimes don't really look at, well, all of those systems, when they're functioning well, your liver and your detoxification systems are also doing very well, right? So, you know, when we talk about functional medicine, we're talking about looking at all of the different systems that are happening in the body and looking how it functions. And that's where detoxification comes in, is if the body's not functioning very well, then it's highly likely that there is something else going on with the detoxification system that's not allowing you to remove certain toxins and chemicals that are going in. And then they get backed up, and then we see this kind of roller coaster of things come out of it.
Yeah, it's essentially waste management. Yeah, and you can look at it in your home, that if your toilet got backed up, or your kitchen and bathroom sinks get backed up, and no one takes out the trash, and all of a sudden your home just starts getting more and more and more cluttered with all the stuff. Initially, it's just sort of irritating. Then it starts getting in the way. And now when it builds up to kind of a crucial level, it can become a health hazard of bacteria and things festering simply because you never got this crap out of your house. And the same thing happens within our body.
Right. Right. Exactly.
So what are our main detox pathway? I mean, so we imagine, okay, I go to the bathroom, that's eliminating things. How else do I get rid of stuff out of my body?
Yeah, absolutely. I know, I love this question because it's actually not that complicated, but there's some really key things that if you are wanting to learn more about how to use food in order to detoxify your system, just to optimize those systems, it's actually pretty simple. So let's say you either take a medication or you are just exposed to chemicals just in your daily life. We breathe them in, toxins in the air, just because of cars and all that jazz. There's toxins in our water. It's really not that big of a deal in most cases. It's just a big deal if you can't get them out. You get them in, and then what your body does is it takes it through the blood into your liver. And your liver goes through two phases. It goes through phase one and phase two. In phase one, there are enzymes that are there that take medications and all those types of things. And they actually turn them into something called a reactive oxygen species. So they actually become more toxic when they're in the liver to be detoxed. So it's kind of odd. But this is really important because in that first stage, foods like broccoli, foods like cauliflower, kale, your brassica and cruciferous vegetables are going to be most important for making sure that the enzymes that are there, I won't name them because it doesn't, it's just complicated, but the enzymes that are there.
They exist.
Yeah, they exist. those enzymes are specifically there to help remove those types of toxins out of the system. Anyway, so broccoli and cauliflower, those types of foods will help that first stage. Now, when you take that free radical that comes from the phase one, now the liver is going to use a ton of other antioxidants and nutrients to basically add an electron and an oxygen to take that reactive, reactive oxygen species and make it not so toxic. So it's going to bind it so that it can get out. So that's going to be like any type of antioxidant that you can kind of think of, but vitamin C is a big one. Some other heavy hitters are going to be like alpha lipoic acid and CoQ10 might even be one. Anyway, there's several on that list. They're very long. When I point this out to patients and I show them a chart, they go, "Oh, is that why I eat these certain foods?" And I'm like, "Yes."
And a lot of these antioxidants is when we start talking about eat the rainbow, that they are colorful. They are part of that colorful palette. And so if you have a very bland diet, we can oversimplify this. If you have a very bland, colorless diet, you also probably have a very not antioxidant rich diet.
Correct. Yeah. And a lot of the times, yes, exactly. And those kind of white diets that don't have a whole lot of color in them, they also can increase reactive oxygen species and free radicals in the system as well. So it's just, you back up so many different areas when it comes to not eating enough colorful foods. So what happens then is, so in phase two, once we've bound that original toxin that went in or medication or whatever, then the body's going to take it out to the blood again, and it has three or four different ways to remove it. It can go through the kidneys and so into the urine, but it can also go into the GI tract. And this is where having a really healthy GI tract is super important, and making sure that we're eating enough foods with fiber. So similarly, right? So if we eat colorful foods, they're normally high in fiber. So what's going to happen is not only are you giving your body the antioxidants it needs in order to detoxify chemicals and things out of your system, but you also have fiber in the GI tract so that you can take those toxins, put them in the GI tract and get them out, right? So it's super...
Push them along their way.
Yeah. So it's not super complicated. Mm-hmm. They usually serve multiple different purposes. And I'll come back to this later when we talk about cleanses. But the way that foods, though, are so important is because they have so many different nutrients on different levels to help the body do all these systems naturally. And then you also have through the sweat as well and through the skin. And so when you see rashes, when you see hives, when you see psoriasis or acne even, that's when the body's just trying to take whatever's in the body and get it out. And if it's not being able to do that, like if you're constipated or if you have any trouble with the body just not being able to move things out of the body, you'll see it come potentially through the skin, sometimes through breath and stuff like that.
Well, and I think that's a piece. And when you mentioned breath too, is that we do less so than the other three, but also breathing out our lungs.
Yes.
Everybody can think of urine and defecation, poop, that's how we get our toxins out. But so often we neglect the fact that the skin is really the largest organ that is going to be detoxifying, largest surface area. Yep. And, you know, when you see things show up there, sometimes it's a little bit as a last resort when the other things aren't being as effective. Yes.
Exactly. And that's my first sign that the body's really not being able to handle things very well is when we see things on the skin. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just to back up, why should we care about these reactive oxygen species, these ROSs? You know, what do they do? Why do I not want them in my body?
Yeah.
I think they're cool. Cute name.
Yeah. So reactive oxygen species are something that the body naturally creates most of the time through different processes. So I talked about one of the examples being in the liver, but also I'm going to get a little sciencey, but there's these things called mitochondria that are in our cells. they generate ATP, which is basically how we experience energy. So if you feel like you're fatigued, sometimes it's because the mitochondria themselves are just not being able to do the things they need to do in order to create energy. And so you just feel tired. What happens along that course of the mitochondria doing their job is they will also sometimes create reactive oxygen species in order to get through that whole cycle. I won't get super into science on that.
You could go so deep. I love how passionate you are and how deep you know the science of this. You just, I see you wanting to.
Well, you know, I talk about the Krebs cycle, right? And people go, oh my God, I don't even remember learning that in biology. And I'm like, it's okay. You probably did in high school. I'm going to bring it back there for just a short minute, but it's going to be okay.
Well, anyway, hold your hand through it. It's a terrifying cycle. But the essential being that that these reactive oxygen species are kind of the byproduct of any chemical reaction in our body. Exactly. Because anybody who survived chemistry in high school knows there's always kind of something that's shot off of the equation.
Correct.
And they impact our cellular health. They impact our body's ability to function at its most optimal level. And when we talk about aging, which we have another podcast probably coming out before this one, so we'll probably throw back to it. Talking about aging, and that's about cellular health. That's about your energy and your body's ability to get these reactive oxygen species, these ROSs, out of the way so that you can continue to function and have energy at the level that you'd like. And again, it's that buildup of waste management.
Yep. And I mean, and not only aging, I think this is actually a great topic because I think right now we're learning a lot more about, it's not just about anti-aging, it's really about aging well and almost aging backwards, because we really can do this sort of like biohacking in a sense and really help our systems be able to, in our body and our cells, be able to do this, do their jobs really healthy and really well. And then that's when, you know, we can kind of age backwards, which is lovely. But also there's some science that's coming out now about some of these free radicals and reactive oxygen species. When they are kind of in overload, it's an increase of oxidative stress on the system. And then that can also be somewhat related to why we get things like cancer. And it can also be things like Parkinson's, Alzheimer's. There's a lot of different kind of conditions that can circle around having this backup of reactive oxygen species and free radicals. Now that there's usually other mechanisms that go along with that. I'm not saying that this is the only one, okay? But it has been shown to be part of the process.
And we can't oversimplify everything, but when we get to, if you have a healthy symptom and you are eliminating just the natural byproducts of life, in addition to the byproducts of living in a modern environment with increased toxicity and, you know, the paint on the walls, the makeup products you put on your face and your skin and your hair, the exhaust from the cars, all the list is endless, but we need to be able to get it out. And the disease comes from when we are unable to purge these toxins as fast as we are taking them in.
Exactly.
At some level.
Absolutely.
So which is why, I mean, detox and detox packages are, I wish I knew the number. It's a huge industry. Do you happen to know how big an industry it is?
Oh, I don't, but I would say that it ties really well into just the wellness industry in general, and which is a massive, massive, massive industry. And I think the hard part is that the wellness industry in many cases is really just out there to sell products, and it's really just out there, their companies looking to make money. And the difficult part is that you have to, and this is so frustrating, I think, for people nowadays, just in general, is that there's so much information on the internet, but most of it is just marketing, that it's very difficult to sort through and know exactly what we should or shouldn't be doing and what's going to actually be effective and not waste our time and money. But the wellness, I think where a lot of detoxification kind of got, it's like, ooh, I need to do a cleanse. Ooh, I need to detox, is just this idea that we want to reset. We want to get sugar out of our system. We want to get certain, we want to have better, we want to feel better. We want to have more energy. Yeah. We want to sleep better. And so what's kind of come from that is, well, let's do a cleanse. Let's do something where you're going to take a shake, take some supplements, and then see how you feel. You'll probably feel better in about 14 to 20 days, and then you're just going to go back to your normal. Well, and oftentimes too, those cleanses are really expensive. And yeah, you might feel good because guess what? Those cleanses, they usually, those supplements they put you on or the juices that you're consuming, first off, they have a lot of sugar. Juices do. That's not discounting juicing. I can talk about that in a minute, but juicing just usually will have a lot of sugar. It's what makes it taste good.
Well, but the store-bought counter juices are largely sugar.
Yes.
Yeah, not what you put in your blender at home.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep. And also what you put in your blender at home, you usually get fiber, all that stuff too. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Point being, with the cleanses, they can serve their purpose and kind of jumpstart you into that, but they don't teach you how to use certain foods to have this whole system work well and what you're going to carry forward when you're not on the cleanse anymore. So, you know, so if what I try to explain to people is that if you're looking for just feeling better in general, let's actually just work on nutrition. Let's get things like inflammatory foods out of your body, like sugar, wheat, dairy, soy, corn. Those are your five heavy hitters. And then you can go a little bit deeper and you can look into which types of foods we really should be eating organic, which foods are okay not to be eating organic. And then kind of dive into that and really work on making sure we're getting enough of proteins, fats, and carbohydrates and a wide variety of colors. Okay. That's like this, that's kind of the basics, but then, oh, you could go ahead.
It's so hard on the Zoom to get the timing right. But what it comes down to is, once again, it's the difference between, you know, even we talk a lot about pharmaceuticals and how oftentimes they are that attempt at a silver bullet, like going back to your acne example, that you take the you take the estrogen pill, the birth control pill, and the acne goes away and ta-da, I am good now forever is the hope. Right. And I think it's important to point out that even in the health and wellness industry, there is still that desire to have the quick fix and to do the detox and say, I do this detox once and now my problems are solved.
Right.
When the reality that you're lining out for us is really that, yeah, you can jumpstart. There are, you know, better and worse ways to detox, and we'll kind of get into some of those misconceptions. But the real point of health is habits. And it's doing the gritty, determined, often societally rebellious work every single day in order to maintain your health, not just the 14 to 21 day detox that you've picked up off the interwebs.
And you know, and right now I'm really just talking about kind of general, I'm not really talking about clinical detoxification. There's another subset for that as well, because there are people who have been exposed to a lot of heavy metals either through their job or through nutrition and diet. And some people are very, very good at removing those from their system. Others are not. And so there are other reasons, like people who maybe work in an auto body shop, or maybe you work as a maid or some type of person that's doing a lot of cleaning, some type of janitorial role where you've been around these really toxic cleaning chemicals. And those when they really become an issue, when we start to see really kind of big chronic illness diseases that stem from things like that, we have to look a little bit deeper at more clinical based detoxification, which is a little bit deeper than that. But for the general public, when I'm trying to educate on this whole idea of detoxification, doesn't really have to be centered around these expensive cleanses that, you know, are.
And that's a really important distinction that you bring up, that as with everything, health is a spectrum, and all of us always want to feel a little bit better.
Yes.
And where that is on your own health journey and how, you know, how beat up your system has become because of lifestyle or, you know, what have you, genetics and your ability to detox. That is it's an important thing to keep in mind as you start to choose what's right for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So what are some of the common misconceptions you see with sort of, can I kind of tongue in cheek call them the over-the-counter detox?
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. One common misconception I see the most is that it's going to fix all of the things. You talked about it already. I mean, you highlighted the first one, which is it being like the silver bullet. Right now, like we're recording in January, and this is the biggest time for New Year's resolutions. And it's kind of why I actually created my 30-day reset is because, and I launched it at first a couple years ago in January, because I was like, okay, guys, like there are certain supplements that you should take on a daily basis that are very helpful just in general, like a probiotic and a fish oil and maybe a multivitamin, because our food sometimes doesn't have as much nutrients as it could and should due to soil depletion. That's another rabbit hole, which we will not go down. However, there
but
are-
But it is true that food is not as nutrient rich as it was even 40, 50 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's a bunch of science behind it. You can research, you can look at it and all that. But there are definitely certain supplements we do need to take. And I do talk about that, but there's also just food. Food in general is what you need to be consuming in order for all these systems to do their job. And especially too, when we, and you mentioned when I took birth control for acne, I also took antibiotics for years because they told me it was a bacteria on my skin. And so if I took an antibiotic, then it would make that go away. And it for sure did, it worked. However, it's also what caused a lot of issues down the road with my GI tract, because anytime you go on antibiotics for a long period of time, you're affecting the bacteria that's in your gut. And that connects, and that could also be another cause behind the migraines. It could be another cause behind a lot of other things I've had to deal with. But what I try to teach in this reset and in this idea of this misconception that there's this silver bullet is that food is really what you have to do in order, and it's non-anti-inflammatory food, really, and high colorful food is really what over time will fix so many things. We talk about this a lot, that food is medicine, and I get kickback on that a lot. Like, there's no way that food can get rid of my blank. Well, maybe in some cases. But in a lot of cases, like cardiovascular disease, like diabetes, like autoimmune disease, like hypothyroidism, I can name a lot of different conditions that a lot of people are managing and dealing with right now, that chronic fatigue syndrome all have a lot to do with food. So yeah, I think that's my first biggest misconception is that silver bullet.
Yeah. And that we can just take care of it like that.
Yes. Like what else? Cleanse. We'll take care of it all.
Done. Well, it'll take care of it for the 21 days.
Yeah. Right.
Ish. And only some of it. Mm-hmm. So what else do you see? What are other misconceptions?
I would say the need for maybe more deeper cleanses and deeper detoxification. Mm-hmm. I would say that a lot of the times what I find more is I will have people come in and I'll be like, yeah, you're clearly a person that needs to go. We need to address the detoxification systems, but we can't bypass the gut. We can't bypass some of these other systems that if they aren't doing their job. So for example, if you're constipated a lot, I talked about this, but conversely, if you also have loose stools and you have a lot of inflammation through your GI tract, constipation on this side, what happens is that you should have a certain amount of time that food moves through your system and then is out. If it takes longer than that, then what can happen is the used up hormones that your body's used, those chemicals and toxins that it's trying to get through the bowels, can get reabsorbed into the system. And so then it can reaffect. Mm-hmm. So the body, the interesting thing about hormones with the body is that it doesn't read, if it's a used hormone, it still thinks that it has enough of that hormone in the system. So the feedback mechanisms that go to your brain that signals whether you should make something or not will sometimes be turned off because it says, oh, I've already got you in the blood. I don't need to do any, I don't need to make any more. And then it starts to make less and less and less. So I would say first, like, yeah, we need to get your liver detoxifying better because it's going to help balance out your hormones. But if your GI tract isn't really moving things through, then we're going to have some problems. So I'd say that
you won't actually be pushing things out.
Yes, exactly. And then also on the other side, that if you have loose stools and you have a lot of inflammation through your gut, you may not be absorbing things very well either. So those antioxidants that you need, you might be eating a super duper good diet, but and nutrition, but if your body's not able to absorb it, or if you have something like intestinal permeability where there's food that's not being broken down enough, but it's getting into your bloodstream, then you're launching an immune response to it. You're not going to get those nutrients into your system. So it's almost superfluous, right? So that's that's the really tricky part about detox, is that it could be this thing that we all should do, but oftentimes there's a lot of other things that go along with it that we really need to focus on and be sure that that's going to work really well.
It does. Well, and it really brings up, because I get that I don't, focus on functional medicine in my practice. We're much more of a biomechanical focus. So I get sort of these side conversations with my patients where, you know, well, I've tried eating well and it doesn't do anything.
Yes.
And it just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And I think the conversation is still focused on, well, I ate all my leafy greens and my colorful diet and I don't feel any different. So this whole food is medicine thing must be bogus.
Right.
Instead of taking another step down the ladder and seeing what needs to be addressed next.
Yes.
Because you're right. You can be doing everything correctly, but if the systems that are meant to move those things along just aren't doing it, then you can't get all the hard work that you're putting in.
Exactly. Yeah. I actually have several, because I work a lot with athletes. I don't only work with athletes, but I work with a lot of athletes, and a lot of them will come in and they'll say, I exercise like 5 to 6 days a week. I'm training a lot. I'm getting really good sleep. I am eating all of these foods that I'm told I'm supposed to be eating in these right ratios and all of this stuff, but I'm still dealing with XYZ and I'm still not being able to do this. I'm still sore for days. I have a lot of achy joints and pains. I have injuries. All of those are really good symptom examples of the body having an issue.
And we hear it so often too, then in a non-athletic population, I mean, there are so many women who have that belly fat, that lower abdomen fat, and they're dieting, they're trying to eat their whole fruits and vegetables, they're moving and they're exercising and nothing changes.
Yes.
And in that situation is a perfect example of this, your body thinking it has the hormones it needs.
Right.
This becomes a sign of an estrogen imbalance, that you have essentially all of these defunct little estrogen hormones floating around your body because you're not eliminating them. Exactly. And so your brain ends up storing all of it in fat around your abdomen. So that's a really good example of a detox system that isn't working, and you can try as hard as you want, but nothing's going to move the needle until we deal with that hormone issue and that detox issue.
Right. Okay. That leads me to my fourth misconception on detoxification. Nailed it. Okay. And it's the fact that I see this all the time, low calorie diets that are anywhere between, well, underneath 1500 calories. Let's go with that. So underneath 1500 calories or lower. I see this with women all the time. They're like, well, I've been eating like 1200 calories it's 1200 calories. And I'm not losing weight. It worked for me before, but now it's not working. I feel like I need to go on this cleanse. And these cleanses oftentimes too will say, well, you're not going to eat any food. You're just going to go on this 2 to 3 day. Well, I'll kind of backtrack on that, but usually they limit the amount of food that you eat, because a lot of people do detoxification, these detox cleanses, for weight loss. They want to see some of that weight kind of shed off. The problem with that is that, first off, the thyroid is extremely sensitive to low calorie diets. So, and keep in mind, I mention thyroid all the time because so many women, 1 in 5 women have a thyroid issue, usually hypothyroid, and a lot of them don't even know it, which is why this matters. It's because hypothyroidism or hyperthyroidism, but hypothyroidism slows everything down. So when we see a difficulty losing weight, when we see slow GI tract moving, so constipation, things like that, low energy, depression, fatigue, those are all signs of hypothyroid, sometimes thyroid just not doing what we want it to be doing. And it is incredibly sensitive to not getting enough nutrition and enough calories. So you essentially, by sometimes cutting down calories, are doing the opposite of what you want to do. Mm-hmm. We also have to remember that when we cut out calories or when we reduce calories, the body's going to lower the amount of output that it puts out. So the whole calorie counting for weight loss is a little bit tricky because it really does work for some, but for others, there's a lot more going on underneath the surface that you have to know if you want to like keep it off for long term. So mm-hmm. yeah, the low calorie stuff I can understand fasting and intermittent fasting for a couple of days and doing like intermittent fasting and giving your liver and your body some time to reset hormones, but you really only need a max of 12 hours for your liver to reset. So the whole eating there, and everybody's going to be a little bit different. So I've seen people do really, really well on intermittent fasting, and I've seen others just tank. They don't do well at all. Mm-hmm. This is why nutrition is so tricky and why working with a practitioner is really helpful, because mm-hmm. look and see really what is optimal for you. And then it's not all on you looking on the internet, trying to figure out what all is happening. And we'll save you time, but also we'll find something that's really effective. And, you know, so anyway, that's my fourth misconception, is that eating a low calorie diet is not always the answer.
And it makes a lot of sense then too, that when we see things like low calorie restriction or, you know, the cayenne lemon juice and honey kind mm-hmm. of beverage option is a really popular one that what people yep. will come in, is that it works really well for about 3 to 5 days. And then right. there's a plateau.
Right.
And that plateau is simply your body slowing down and saying like, all right, there must not be as much food.
Yes.
I guess I don't have as much energy to give you.
Exactly.
Because my yes. point here is to survive.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I will say, I actually really like lemon juice in the morning, like lemon juice and water mm-hmm. in the morning and all of that, but not just that.
I think that's not your whole day.
Yeah. People don't really drink enough water in general. And I see this all the time, right? Around January, February, people are like, okay, I'm going to drink my body weight in ounces of water. And I'm like, yes, please keep that up. Don't do that. You have to put an app on your phone. If you have to set alarms on your phone to remind you to drink water, it is one of the best ways. Oh, like this is the best one that I heard the other day. So bags under your eyes and mm-hmm. those kind of under eye bags and dark circles are often signs that we're like, oh, well, I'm really tired. Yeah. You also need to be drinking a lot more water and mm-hmm. your body's probably not detoxifying very well. Something's backing up. So those are a couple of really simple signs that we can watch as what's happening literally on the outside that show us it's not just that you're not sleeping very well. There's probably, and if it is, if you're not sleeping very well, then there's probably something else going on underneath that that's the cause for that, right? And I'm not talking about moms being woken up every couple of hours by their kiddos. I'm talking about-
Well, there's a cause for that.
There's a cause for that too. Yeah, but that's, anyway, there's, yeah. I can go down rabbit holes in all of this, but that's, yeah.
But what I think is really coming around with this as well is that a lot of these misconceptions that we talk about are starting with, I've gained weight, yes. I'd like to lose it.
Yes.
And that's what the detox is going to hit, are these weight loss goals. When mm-hmm. truly the fact that we have extra weight on our body, whether it's easy to get rid of or being very stubborn about leaving, should be considered another symptom of what's happening internally.
Right.
On the same level of, is my acne going crazy? Do I have dandruff? Do I have bags under my eyes? Am I constipated? Am I cold all the time or hot all the time? All of the, do I have sinus dripping all the time?
Yeah.
All of these are all just symptoms that doctors, professionals trained in functional medicine can know that your body is not working at an optimal level. Right. And weight gain, loss, sustainability, what have you, is on that same level. Not better, not worse, just another symptom of health.
Right.
And when we change our detox game to talk about what system of health, what system within my body, because they all interact together. Where's my keystone?
Yes.
All of them. Is my keystone that my liver is being sluggish? Is my keystone that my hormones are being stored in my body fat? That I'm constipated and simply get to just drink more water, and isn't that a great fix? Mm-hmm. Which system needs help? Then everything will function better, and you'll start to see these changes you're looking for when you focus inside out to begin with.
Exactly. You nailed it. It's good. I have one last one. Can I wrap up with a fifth misconception?
Absolutely.
If you are already backed up and the system is unable, so if you, for example, have something like candida in your GI tract, which is yeast. It's a pretty common infection nowadays. It's starting to become more and more common, as are things like SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, and also SIFO, which is small intestinal fungal overgrowth. When we start to kill those off, they can often produce neurotoxins, which become more toxic. Mm-hmm. And again, if the body's really not able to bring some of those things out, if you go on a kind of some type of detox, and those things get backed up, those are going to flare up symptoms even worse. So I try to explain and caution people that you really need to know what's happening and know those underlying things that are very, very important that we want to make sure the body's doing well before you start launching into these programs and things that could make it worse before it's better. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's kind of how I'd finish that up. That also applies to mold. You mentioned runny nose, things like that. Mm-hmm. Mold toxicity is a big one here in the Pacific Northwest. And it is a tricky bugger to get rid of. There's so many different ways and areas that we can be exposed to certain things that it's really, really important to talk to physicians that really know what they're working with and what they're dealing with. Because just going on like an antiviral or an antibiotic or whatever, you know, I mean, even if you get it out of your home, there's still a lot of things you need to do in your system to help get it out. And so anyway, cause it can live there for a really, really long time. That's it.
It's a lot of hard work to clean that stuff up.
It is. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So now that we've thoroughly overwhelmed and frightened people about detoxing on their own, So what do I do now as your average human that says, okay, yeah, but I still want to lose 10 to 15 pounds and my acne is still disgusting and I have eczema and okay, maybe I don't poop every day, maybe once a week.
Yep.
Okay. What do I do now?
I have five tips. Okay. So one is eat the rainbow. We've talked about this multiple times already on this podcast. But eating the rainbow means you're going to get a lot of different phytonutrients, a lot of different antioxidants. They all serve a purpose. So I say if you're eating right now, barely 1 to 2 per day, servings per day of fruits and vegetables, you're going to aim for 3 to 4. If you're getting like a salad a day, I'm going to have you aim for about 6 to 7. If you get vegetables at lunch and dinner, I'm going to have you aim for 9 to 12. So that means adding in a little bit more at each lunch and dinner and at breakfast. And that can be fruits and vegetables, right? So grabbing a couple handfuls of blueberries, ta-da, that's great. That's already a serving. So it's really, really simple. Making smoothies and even juicing, but getting ones that kind of have a really good balance and having a juicer at home that you just run stuff through, that's also a great way, especially if your GI tract can't handle a lot of fiber, but we really need to get antioxidants into your system. Juicing is a fantastic way to do that. Okay, so eat the rainbow, number one. Number two, look at how your GI tract is doing. So I will often recommend something like a probiotic, but pay attention to how those probiotics make you feel, because sometimes probiotics can increase IBS symptoms. Sometimes they can cause gas. Sometimes they can cause bloating. And that's a sign that maybe there is a bacteria in that probiotic that your body doesn't like. So just, and that's a tricky one, because probiotics help to decrease the inflammation in the GI tract, but sometimes they are not, they're not the right fit. So not one size fits all with probiotics. And there are also different types of probiotics and bacteria that they have in them that help with weight loss. So keep that one in mind. Three, my third one would be drink a lot of water. This is for all of it. Weight loss, feeling better, detoxification, all of that. Water helps to remove all sorts of stuff from the system. So I would say that's a third really big one. And I would start with the half your body weight in ounces of water. If you go like a little bit higher than that, like especially if you are in really arid, dry, warm climates, if you-
Colorado people.
I know, because I went to school out there. That's a really big one. If you're working out a lot, training all the time, that's a really big time to make sure that you're drinking enough water, and also paying attention to your electrolytes, making sure you're getting enough sodium, potassium, magnesium, all that. Okay. My fourth one, and this is in particular to weight loss, would be, and it kind of ties back to eating more vegetables. It's really eating less inflammatory foods. So if you want to affect your blood sugar, because blood sugar and keeping that roller coaster of, let's say, eating a lot of rice or a lot of potatoes or just straight up candy, cookies, cake, yep, sugar, it launches your blood sugar up way up high, because it takes glucose into the blood. You have to launch insulin to take care of it. And then that's what ends up usually being the process behind storing fat. If you're having difficulty losing weight, looking at blood sugar and how that whole system is functioning is so, so, so important. So eating more protein and eating vegetables is like the best way to have kind of a foolproof start to figuring out that whole system. But you have to do that for a good period of time. This is not a quick fix, but it is something that, first off, if you do it and you stick to it, you will feel better. Most people will feel better if they cut inflammatory foods out of their system. So that would be my fourth one, is just really pay attention to what types of foods, and I would eliminate the foods that are going to spike your blood sugar and cause that kind of blood sugar reaction. Fifth one is movement and exercise, but not for the purpose of burning calories. It is for the purpose of either being a stress release and helping you sleep and find better rest, because it burns some energy. And also I would say that maybe like a 5A and a 5B would be exercise, and 5B would be reduce stress. Find some time to either meditate or do yoga, or if you like to read, find 10 to 20 minutes in your day to read. Find some time in your day to rest, because it's really, really important. Not that stress is a bad thing. You and I have talked about this before, but not that it's a terrible thing, but chronic stress can be. So we're not going to make stress into an evil thing, but we're just going to say, if you are chronically stressed, let's find some time to rest, right? And exercise in that movement is going to help just move your joints, move your body. It's going to work stuff through. It's going to help your body continue to just feel mobile and feel, if you feel like you have tight joints and a stiff body, you're inflamed. You've got stuff that's going on in your system that you really need to tackle. So all five of those points all connect. Do all of those things.
Do all of them.
Move more. Drink more water. Eat better food. Eat
less crap. Yeah. Well, and just, is this going to take us down a rabbit hole? We never even mentioned the lymph system, and that that this is, so we'll just do a very quick little, the movement piece, why it becomes so important if you're feeling sluggish and crappy and is that your lymph system runs throughout your entire body. And that really kind of is the garbage truck. That's picking up all of this extra gunk coming off your cells, which are it's what we're made of. It's everywhere, everything. Mm-hmm. And it is the only system in our body that does not have its own motility.
Yes.
It is 100% dependent on us moving. Yep. So if we don't move, the garbage men don't come and stuff does not get to our detox pathways that we've already talked about.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. And also, you know, seeing a chiropractor, you know, I'll say this because you and I both are chiropractors.
We're not biased, but here we are.
Yeah, no, but I would say that what's also important about the movement piece is that if you are not moving well, and there's a pattern that's off, find a chiropractor that understands how people move and understands those patterns. Because if you had an ankle injury when you were 12, most likely you have functional movement patterns that are off because of that. And that's maybe why your right shoulder injury came on. It's all connected. So I focus so much on the internal piece of, let's talk about nutrition, let's talk about inflammation, let's talk about why your body's so stiff that way. And I will use chiropractic in many cases to help people move better. But I would also say that if you are just feeling just bogged down and icky and stiff and tight and like your muscles are like jerky, first off, drink water. Second, maybe go see a chiropractor and see if they can get you moving a little bit better. Because if you hurt, if it hurts to move, you're not going to want to move. So let's kind of work on the pain from these different perspectives so that then you can actually move and your life will look so much different. So there you go.
So I love that. I love the play for chiropractic. Always. But with your five tips, the things that we really take away and we start to see as a pattern here, as we start talking about health and wellness, is that what needs to be done for the majority of the population. Now, again, we talked about those clinical cases of clinical detox, and there are always populations that need a lot more work, but we have a misconception about how big those populations are. For most of the American population, simply cleaning up your diet, getting rid of processed crud, eating the rainbow that is whole foods, not like Cheetos and Skittles, that kind of rainbow, and water and movement and making sure that stress isn't ruling you, that stress can propel you towards positive things. And taking those simple supplements, the probiotics, the multivitamins to fill in the gaps, that will take care of almost everybody.
Almost.
Most people.
If we actually stuck to it, it would.
It would. And that is how you determine if you are that special population that needs more work, is if you do all of this first and now things are still going haywire. Now we're going to dive deeper. And the thing about all of this is it's not glamorous. It's not a 30-day detox. It doesn't come in a pretty box with, you know, step one, step two, step three. It's start cleaning up your habits, stick with it. You know, health is simple and simple is hard.
Yes. And if you need assistance with that, there are so many health coaches, there are so many physicians, there are so many people that are out there to help you apply those things and actually do them. Find somebody that fits, you know, interview a couple of people and see who seems to kind of understand how all of this stuff goes. And then see if working with them for a bit, you know, you don't have to do it by yourself is what I'm trying to say. There is support out there for you that, you know, I act as a health coach in my clinic for my patients, but you don't have to pay a physician like me to get those simple things. Some people do, but you don't have to. There are some health coaches that can really be extremely helpful in applying some of these things.
Yeah. Just to get things started.
Yeah.
So what would you like to see change kind of as a, you know, big cherry on top of this conversation? What would you like to see change about the way we think about detox and the way we engage with food and our environment?
I would like to see people look less for a quick fix. I think it's a product of a little bit of the pharmaceutical industry that you can take a pill and it can go away. But the symptoms will, if you stop taking the pill, the symptoms come back. So that you never actually address the cause. So I really want people to start looking and start paying attention to what's the why. Why am I experiencing this, right? Like, why is this happening? If you have a history of traumatic brain injury, that can affect your GI tract, but your GI tract can also affect your brain. So let's start looking for the reasons. And there's not always just one cause in most cases. There's usually several, but pay attention to what's going on. Look at what your history is. Look at how these things all connect. And that's what I want people to start doing, is just saying, okay, but I actually want to know like why this is happening. And then let's do something about it. Let's take those small, simple steps that over time will, like, you can use a medication I will sometimes have people use medications in the get-go because I need them to start feeling better right away. Like somebody who's really clinically hypothyroid and is like depressed and fatigued and can't even just get out of bed for the day. Oh, let's get you on a medication. Let's put you on level thyroxine and see how you're doing. I can't do that. I recommend you go to your physician, your medical doctor, and do that. But I'm saying that we'll use medications in the short term to get you feeling better. But that's not the long-term solution. So let's work on those long-term solutions while you're starting to feel better on the med, so that then we can take you off the medication, which is the purpose of medications in the first place. Is to get you feeling better. And then let's actually tackle that issue. And my second thing with detox is that if you're looking for those quick fixes, look to food, because that is going to serve you in the long term much more than just getting back into that yo-yo dieting cycle. So that's my piece. Is that, and if you need something deeper than that, like you've been in a really like toxic environment for a very long time, find somebody that actually knows a lot about detoxification and what that looks like, that can run the right functional labs and the right tests to look and see how your body's actually functioning. And you're going to get a lot more answers from that, and it'll be a lot more effective and a lot more efficient as far as finances and time and all of that. So,
I don't usually throw in what I hope to change, but in this case, you bring up a really important point.
Please, is that going, you would like to change?
So I have you here.
Yes.
But that we think, when we look at the investment into these kind of healthcare choices, it seems like a very large financial burden out front. But I have seen so many people cycle their way through the supplement they've heard they should take, or maybe I'll just try this, or how about that? And for any large number of reasons, it's, you know, not all supplements in any nutrition store are made equally. Some of them
they're not regulated very well. Just keep that in mind.
Yeah. They're not regulated well. Some of them are mostly fillers. Some of them, the doses aren't high enough. Some of them, it's the wrong form of the supplement, or that you need to do step A, B, or C before you jump into the supplement you think you can. You're going to end up spending a lot more money trying to figure this out on your own. So if you run into dead ends after cleaning up your diet, drinking water, doing all these simple five steps that we've mentioned, you know, go get the professional help. It's there. These are highly educated practitioners who know a very deep, windy functional system and really want to help you get better faster rather than having to struggle with a lot of dead ends.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, that's it. Awesome. Cool. That's awesome. I love it.
Well, Dr. Kate, where can people find you and your ebook and your resources?
Yeah, absolutely. So I, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Dr. Kirsten. And I think we'll have a link below to my website, which is just jimcall.com. We're actually rebranding this year to Northwest Functional Medicine, which is super exciting, but the website's not live for that yet. So we'll have the link to my current website. That'll be fine. And then also the 30-day reset I created, and actually with all of those five tips that we talked about, it's a system I created in the book to help you apply those things with recipes, meal plans, all that fun stuff, teaching you about tracking stress, tracking exercise and all of that throughout the month so that you can really see process and the progress that you go through, which is great. You can find that on my website again at jimcall.com/30-day-reset. And it's pretty great. It's a downloadable ebook. So you don't even have to wait for it to ship to you. You get it right to your, right to your inbox right away. So it's kind of fun.
Start it now.
No time like the
present to get healthier.
Right. And I would say too, that you can use it unlike supplements, right? That you just take for the 14 to 21 days. You can mm-hmm. use those meal plans over and over and over and over again. And you can insert in fun things that you find off the internet from another person. And then you can kind of mm-hmm. mix and match them. But the point of it is to teach how, because everybody asks me like, how should I eat? What should I eat? How much? And all of that. And I was like, let me just mm-hmm. show you. And then you can take what I teach you and apply it to your life when you're doing your own thing. So anyway, that's why I created it.
Yeah, it's all habit forming and getting the right resources to do things differently so you can feel differently than you ever have.
Exactly. Yes.
Awesome. Yay. Thank you so much for joining us here today. I think you shared such an incredible wealth of information, and I hope that our listeners find this to be really useful, not to muddy the waters, but to help us appreciate why we want to change the way we eat, change the way we feel, and take care of our body differently, and really change that whole approach to detox in and of itself. So yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And we'll catch you next time for another episode of the Healing Ground Movement Podcast.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed what you heard and got a little something out of it. Now remember, the information expressed in these interviews is for informational and not diagnostic or treatment purposes. However, I hope you find that having the right information and resources can go a long way to helping you on your healthcare journey. Ask the right questions and seek out professional help.